And a good morning, everyone. Mike Burge along with you on this Friday morning, and it is the Ask Dr. Rick program with Dr. Richard Malachek from the Cherry County Hospital here in Valentine, the surgeon there and MD. And we're not representing, we're not trying to give you medical opinions here, just some information, and share that for entertainment purposes and not representing the Cherry County Hospital in there. But Dr. Rick, how are you?
I'm doing well, sir. I want to wish you a happy Father's Day.
Well, same to you. And fishing's not been good, so we're going to go on and talk about medical stuff.
Okay? No, let's talk about Father's Day. Come on, I had to do
okay,
like
Father's
this.
Okay, Father's Day. Okay, what did you get for Father's Day?
My wonderful wife and family got me a power pole, so that's one of those things you put on the back of your boat instead of dropping
anchor.
An anchor. Yeah, it just goes down, and it goes down 8 to 10 feet and holds you in one place, and you don't get blown all over the place, and you're not dealing with a slimy anchor. So, yeah, now I got to try to get it on the boat and put all the parts that need the special bracket and the special bolts.
You're having a hard time finding the bolts.
A little bit.
Specialized stuff.
Special M. I never knew there were so many bolts, and I didn't know every little marking on top of a bolt meant something.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's an M5, 5.5-inch stainless steel.
Fine thread.
Fine thread, because you have to set it to 55 to 90 foot-pounds of torque. And and you have to get the engine off. So I'll probably be coming in talking about hernias next week.
An anchor sounds easier.
An old pea can with some concrete in it and a rope. Yeah,
there we go. There we go. Well, good. So you're going to go fishing for Father's Day or what?
I think so. I'm going to be here this weekend. I'm sticking around for Father's Day. Son's birthday's next week, so I'll be going home for that. So,
okay.
Anyway, so anyway, Father's Day. You know when the first Father's Day was?
No.
Okay, so here's the story, because I looked this stuff up. So they think in 1908, in a town of West Virginia, they had a very tragic loss of 362 men died in the Fairmont coal mine explosion. So they had a special ceremony and to commemorate that. And then in 1910, there's a woman named Senora Smart Dodd. And what's kind of ironic and I guess maybe unfortunate, she was one of six children that are raised by her mother, who was a widow at a very young age. And she said, hey, we should have a Father's Day. So the first Father's Day was in Spokane, Washington. In 1924, Calvin Coolidge urged the states to celebrate Father's Day. And, of course, anytime government says you should do something, there's a protest in the 1920s and 30s where they marched upon Washington and said, hey.
They didn't want Father's
Day? No, they don't want Father's Day. It should be Parents' Day. Father's Day, somebody said, well, they shouldn't try to masculine a holiday by giving flowers and candy and all that stuff. So they marched upon Washington and they said, we want Parents' Day. And then the Great Depression came. They forgot about it. And then,
because nobody was giving anybody any gifts like that.
Nobody. And then a guy named Wanamaker, who owned a lot of stores, said, Father's Day should be the second Christmas of the year.
Marketing.
Yeah. It's all about marketing and money. And I'm sure Nike is going to do something like that.
I'm surprised it wasn't a card, like Hallmark cards or somebody.
Hallmark was probably his brother-in-law or something. So, and in 1972, guess who made it official? It was Nixon.
Nixon.
Yeah, Monty for Little America.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Nixon.
Mr. Nixon there,
That's everything you want to know about Father's Day, and I can put that a piece of paper aside. So
there, anyway. We covered one subject that you want, kind of, but probably we could get more and more into that. But when you came in, you said we were going to talk about hearing loss, and you gave me a statistic, couple of statistics, matter of fact, that kind of amazed me. So let's start people with that. Well, I want to tell people, if you have questions, you can call us at 402-376-2400. Either give them to Sue, she'll write them down, bring them to us, or you can text me at 402-376-6842. And we won't use your name on the air, but if you have a question specifically, we want to answer those questions. So Ask Dr. Rick program here on KVSH and KVSH.com. So hearing loss.
Hearing loss. You don't want it. And I know we got the joke out earlier. I said hearing loss, and you said what?
Yeah.
So we got that. Let's just put that to bed, get that away. So
everybody turn their radio up there.
Way up loud. Not greater than 85 decibels, and we'll talk about that in a second.
So
one in five Americans are affected by hearing loss. One in three Americans over the age of 65 are affected by hearing loss. So that's about 48 million Americans could have some degree of hearing loss. People on the average wait 7 years before they're seeking help for hearing loss.
I always thought it was tone deafness, because I hear a lot of people, and it's kind of a joke, but it's really not, where they say they can't hear their wife in the other room.
Yeah.
And so, and I always thought it was selective hearing or something like that, but or just different tones.
Yeah.
And they've learned over the years, they just don't accept that frequency or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They tune that out. Yeah. It's amazing. I just can't hear the words, take the garbage out or pick up the dog poop in the backyard. Those are just words that just
they don't teach that in med school, apparently. You don't recognize that part of the language.
Don't do that. So, yeah. Hearing loss can be have a negative impact on pretty much every dimension of life. So, physical health, there is an association between dementia if you have hearing loss, and we'll talk about the different grades of hearing loss. You can double your risk of dementia, even with mild hearing loss.
See, now that was one of the things you had said that I thought, well, okay, what correlation is there between hearing loss and dementia? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're both kind of in the same part of the head, but other than that, how's that work?
Well, there's some theories out there, but when people start having hearing loss, they sort of take themselves out of social situations. They'll maybe not go to parties because the crowd, the noise will make hearing loss. They'll become withdrawn. I'd like to see if when we started wearing masks, because people lip read, and when you start to have hearing loss. So, you know, your brain, you got to use it. And if you don't use it, you lose it. So it must be some stimulatory effect there that being socially withdrawn, not having, you know, you even hear when you're asleep. Their hearing goes on. So there might be some input.
You know. Otherwise, how would your alarm clock wake you up in the morning, right?
Yeah.
Or something like that.
Mine as soon as it vibrates and falls off.
Well, I can testify. I had hearing aids a couple years ago, and I don't wear them a lot because I've got headphones on when I'm here.
Yeah.
But when I'm out in public in a group and doing those things, I try to wear them. But when I first put them on and you walked outside and you could hear birds.
Yeah.
And so now I'm thinking when you say, you know, about your brain processing things, that's more stimulation for your brain. Oh, there's a bird over there. There's a car passing over there. Yeah. There's those little things in the background that we would normally think were annoying that you kind of, if you had gradual hearing loss, they kind of filtered away and you miss those kind of things. So there's a lot out there in the background that we're missing, I suppose.
Yep. And I agree with you. It's having input to your brain, processing. It's amazing what you hear. I will talk about it a little bit, but last Sunday I woke up and I couldn't hear on my left ear. So that's called acute single-sided sensorineural hearing loss. And I know about it because I have a friend who is an ear, nose, and throat surgeon. His wife had it. And I was one of those mornings with a lot of storm, and I could see, wow, it's raining outside. I should be able to hear that. And I was sleeping with my right side down, and I couldn't hear on my left ear. So I immediately jump up, and I'm like, oh, I know what this is.
What causes that, though?
It's usually a viral illness. So the thing is, if you have all of a sudden I can't hear in one ear or all of a sudden I can't hear in both ears, that's not like, well, you know, that may get better. Really, when you have single-sided or both-sided, what they call sensorineural hearing loss, meaning something's going on with the nerves. And we'll talk about the different types of hearing loss. There's conductive hearing loss and sensorineural hearing loss. In the acute setting, you got to get to see somebody, a doctor, and usually within the 1 to 2 weeks, because usually within the 1 to 3 days, you need to be put on steroids. Now, they need to look in your ear. You got to make sure you don't have a bug in your ear. Your face scrunches a bug in here. But I used to do homeless clinic when I was a medical student.
Oh, yeah.
Amazed when you lay on a sewer grate with think creatures that will crawl in your ear. So you can't have a bug in your ear. I had a gentleman had a seashell in his ear for like 3 years. He just thought he was unlucky. Yeah, and I pulled it out and I could hear. So anyway, that's the usual tangent that Dr. Malzak goes on. But
interesting, nonetheless.
Anyway, so the best thing is to get in to see your doctor. Say, I lost hearing in my ear acutely. And so what do? I'm Dr. MacGyver kind of thing. So I'm like, okay, is this conductive loss? Do I have, you know, was I cleaning my ears too much with Q-tips? We'll talk about that in a second. And, or is this that one that I don't want? I never want hearing loss, but I definitely don't want the acute sensorineural hearing loss. So I did my own little hearing test. I put my phone on vibrate. I put it next to my ear that I couldn't hear, and I couldn't hear it in that ear. And then I put it on the top of my head. And you're like, why? Well, that's conductive. You could actually send sound sine waves. There used to be, and there still are, some of this hearing apparatus that actually will vibrate the bones of your ear. So I couldn't hear the cell phone next to my ear vibrating, so I stuck it on my head, and I couldn't hear the vibration making sound in my ear. And I'm like, okay, that's super scary. Called up the always amazing Dr. Mulligan. I'm like, hey, I need to see you today, and can you help me out? So I got put on steroids, and I can hear.
They actually make, if you're researching headphones, like ear pods or something like that, they do have conductive, bone conductive. Yep. They don't really go in your ear. They're on like your jaw or your facial structure in there. So, yeah, so I can see how that would work. But, yeah, but you can hear me now.
So. I can hear you now. At least okay. Actually, I was going to put this headphones on. The right ear doesn't work. So maybe – hopefully I'm not going to see Dr. Mulligan.
I did that on purpose.
Yeah, I know.
When you told me what you were going to talk about.
Oh, of course
you
did.
So.
Hey, let's do Dr.
Mulligan. Just messing with you a little bit for Father's Day. So
no, hey, you know.
Okay, so this is a viral, that the acute stuff is
they
a
don't
viral.
Really know, but they think it's a viral illness, and that could do it, that could have such a quick onset. And that's
if you,
how it's
if you don't get it treated, though, right away, if you don't get steroids right away, will any of that go away and you get partial hearing back, or is it just gone?
Yeah, the longer you get treated. Now, they're going to look in your ear, make sure you have water in your ear or cold. And the chances – I don't have the numbers. I try to find them, but – I couldn't find them at 4:30 this morning. Your chances are greater to get your hearing back. You may have some deficit, but the chance of getting it back is a lot better. So get seen, get early seen, get treated, and have a chance to – these are going to be oral steroids, but sometimes you have to inject them in your ear. So I can't imagine how long that needle is. So, but more about hearing loss.
They go from that side or the other side.
If they go to the other side, they've gone way too far.
Okay.
Hearing loss, 22.7 million veterans get compensation for hearing loss. 50% of all injuries that are associated with blast injuries will cause hearing loss. There's also association between hearing loss and heart attacks.
Really?
Now you're trying to explain that. Well.
Yeah, I couldn't explain the other one.
Yeah, the ear bone's not connected to the heart bone. What really, you have to look at that in reverse, that hearing loss can be associated with blood flow, and if you're starting to get hardening of the arteries and they're starting to affect the really small blood vessels that maybe go to your ear, they're probably going to start affecting the blood vessels, small blood vessels that go to your heart. So, you know, what came first, chicken or egg, cart, horse? But really that is the hearing loss can present before heart attack, so they're really drawing the association with that. Not everybody that has hearing loss is going to have a heart attack, but there is an association there. So
another one of those things is a possible warning sign.
Yeah. So Dr. Malzak's stupid fact is that if people who say somebody has hearing loss and somebody is treated for hearing loss, the people that are not treated on the average will make $20,000 less a year. Now, I'm sure if they walk in the office like, hey, you have hard of hearing, let's cut your salary. I'm sure the American Association of Disabilities would love to come visit you. You're discriminating. But I think maybe you seek different jobs. And maybe those different jobs are you're probably not going to get the job of the guy who calls me all the time and says that my car needs a new warranty. It's probably that guy. He's probably using headphones and listening. But
I'm going to take a quick break here. But I think you've stumbled upon something else of Dr. Malachek's stupid facts. That's going to be a segment of our show from here on out. Okay?
Yeah, that's Rick's stupid facts, yeah.
Hang on, and we're going to be back to visit more with Dr. Richard Malachek here in Valentine on the Ask Dr. Rick program. And again, if you have a question, hearing loss, or whatever it might be, call us at 402-376-2400. You can be anonymous, or send me a text at 402-376-6842. We're continuing on with the Ask Dr. Rick program here on KVSH Radio. Again, our phone line's open, 402-376-2400. Talking about hearing loss, 1 in 5 Americans that have hearing loss. We should talk about causes of hearing loss because, yes. Doc, can that be something, it probably could be a sudden thing like an explosion or something, or it could be medical, it could be over time.
Yes.
Certain repetitive loud noises or something.
Exactly. So there's three types of hearing loss. So we talked about the sensorial neural hearing loss, and that's the most common. That's associated with aging. And that's due to the cochlea and the nerves there. So, we haven't talked about it, but the ear is basically you have an external ear, you have a middle ear, and the inner ear. External ear is the stuff you see on the outside, your pinea, that floppy piece of skin that's your ear. And then from the eardrum is called the middle ear, and then the inner ear, which is the cochlea, which is the hearing apparatus and the nerve. So sensory neural hearing loss is the most common. That's usually associated with age. And actually what happens is you hear something, or there's a noise made, right? So, and the noise makes it a vibration, and it gets collected by your ear, There's just 14 parts of your external ear. I used to know them, don't know them now. And they get channeled into your middle ear, and then that vibration actually hits your eardrum. And then you have those muscles, there are three little bones in your ear. They're called the ossicles, and there's the malleus, the incus, and the stapes. And they work to conduct that little movement of the eardrum to the stapes, which looks like a stirrup. And it actually pushes on the oval window, which is actually a little membrane that actually makes a fluid wave. And that fluid wave conducts around the cochlea, and it causes these little thing called hair cells. They're little hair nerves that stand up and they look like cilia, little hair cells, and they get kind of washed back and forth, and basically turns into sound. It sends it into the auditory.
That does not sound like it should even work.
No, and it's a very sensitive organ, and it can go bad. So, you know, we talked about. So what are loud noises, and what are the different types of noises, and you know, so mostly exposure to loud noise over time, and time and the amount. So they measure in decibels, and they're like, well, what is that? Well, that's a measurement of a comparison between two energy types based on the logarithmic scale. Logarithmic scale.
That doesn't mean anything to me anyway.
That means that things change quickly. So a 0 decibel sound, believe it or not, is the sound of a falling leaf.
That's a 0?
That's a 0.
So that's a nothing.
Yep. A 10 decibel sound is human breathing.
Okay.
A 20 decibel sound is a whisper.
Okay.
A silent room, which is sounds like an oxymoron, actually has 30 decibels associated with it. So there's always room noise. You know,
white noise or something there.
A chainsaw is 120 decibels.
Ooh.
And a jet taking off from 25 feet away is 150 decibels. Now you're like, well, that's you know, I get it. That sounds good. But if you have, so it's on a logarithmic scale. So it's one of those weird charts that go straight up and keep going up real quick. So a 10 decibel noise is 10 times louder than a 0 decibel noise. That makes sense. But a 20 decibel noise means it's 100 times more loud.
100 times louder.
Yeah, louder. So that's how we kind of, if you wrap your head around that, wrap your ear around it, I guess that's how you do it. So then there's conductive hearing loss, which means you cannot conduct the sound from the outside in. So there's something either blocking the middle ear, and that could be earwax or a foreign body. We talked about cucarachas in somebody's ear and a seashell, or it could be fluid in just beyond the ear and things like that. So that talks about earwax, and that's called cerulean. And we got to talk about cleaning your ear. So you know when the first Q-tip was put out there?
I got a feeling you're going to tell me, because I don't know. No, I don't.
1923, a guy named Leo
Gerstanzig,
a Polish-American, one of my people.
Not even a Q in his name.
Not even a Q, but so this is even called more controversy. You know what they were first called?
Do I want to know?
Yeah, it's nothing profound. Not.
Okay, all right.
They were called baby gays, G-A-Y-S. So you see how that would go over today. Like,
yeah,
say your child comes out to you, or somebody, or a child, and they say, you know, I'm going to change my orientation here, or I'm going to identify something else, and you know, the wife's going to turn to husband. See, you put one of those baby gays in his ear, or she, and look what happened. It's your fault, because somebody wants to blame somebody.
You unlock that.
Yeah, so they changed the name over time, and the Q comes from quality.
Okay.
Okay. Have you ever used poor quality Q-tips?
Yeah.
It's like putting a sharp stick in your ear.
Yeah, kind of. It's kind of like, boy, there's no padding on that deal.
Yeah, that's not quality.
No.
And, you know, the only thing you should stick in your ear is your elbow, right?
Yeah, that doesn't work either.
And unless you have Marfan syndrome. So I've always been told by the ear, nose, and throat guys that your ear is a self-cleaning oven.
Not all the time, though.
Well, it should be. So they really don't want you doing anything. Don't be putting stuff in it. Don't be sticking stuff in there because you can get a earwax impaction, and then you could have a conductive hearing loss.
Have you ever watched Dr. Pimple Popper?
No.
Take stuff out of people's ears. And
yeah.
Sometimes, I don't know, maybe it must be an abnormality then when you get an abnormal amount of wax buildup somehow that doesn't clean itself.
Yeah.
And then you have to go in and get them irrigated or something.
Yeah, and then you get irrigated. What happens? You get dizzy, right? Because what's also in your inner ear is that vestibular system that actually works with fluid and three sort of circular things that are in the X, Y, and Z plane. And when you put fluid in there, warm or cold, you actually can make the fluid go one way or the other and give you vertigo, which is the hallucination of movement. So
that's what I was going to ask you about, is they always have, you're associated that if you have an ear infection or mm-hmm. some of those kind of things, you can get vertigo or mm-hmm. you can get just kind of your balance is off a little bit.
Yeah, that's getting fluid infection, something that's going to hamper that normal movement in your ear. We in med school, we learn cows, which is cold opposite, warm same. So if you put cold water in somebody's ear, their eyes, so you get nystagmus, your eyes will move toward cold opposite. So your eyes will flicker to the opposite side of the ear that's putting fluid in. And if you put warm water in your ear, your eyes will sort of track or flicker towards, which is called nystagmus, to the ear where the warm water is being put in. So cows,
cold apparently water. Your eyes and your ears and your nose and all that, your heart are all connected somehow. Who would have thunk that?
There's an ear, nose, and throat people. They're actually,
they know that.
Yeah. There's even a movement when you walk up and down, you know, the world doesn't move. It should move. The movement because of your head and your eyes adjust a little bit as you move.
That's your internal gyroscope.
Yeah. So God was a smart guy. He figured all this stuff out.
Well, we have a few minutes left in here. So what other kind of...
Let's talk about tinnitus or tinnitus.
Oh, yeah. Right. Ringing in the ears.
Tinnitus, tomato, whatever. So 50 million Americans have tinnitus, and 90% of them have hearing loss associated with that. So it's going to be a ringing, a buzzing, or chirping, or even a whooshing sound in your ears. It's associated with hearing loss and noise exposure. I'm going about noise exposure. So they say, I'm looking at my notes here, 12.5% of the kids between the age of 6 and 19 have hearing loss associated with those hearing buds, you know, they put in their ear.
Oh, yeah.
And even a mild case of hearing loss will affect a child's ability to understand the conversation in a classroom by 50%.
Which can affect speech,
yes,
doesn't it, too? I mean, if you don't hear it correctly, it's sometimes hard to repronounce those words.
Yep. And there are medications that can cause tinnitus or tinnitus, which are aspirin, nonsteroidal anti-inflammatories, benzodiazepine, tricyclic antidepressants, Accutane. My son's starting Accutane for acne this week. Diuretics, beta blockers. And here you go, Mike. You get to ask a vitamin question. I know you're always excited about the vitamins. But a vitamin deficiency such as B12 and vitamin D deficiency can
give you a ringing.
Can cause a buzzing, whooshing,
or
chirping.
Or some type of tinnitus.
Yeah. So, but before you start any supplements, ask your doctor if it's okay to do so. It's not, Dr. Miles, I'm not recommending it. Things that can cause tinnitus to be worse: alcohol, caffeine, salt, sugar, saturated fats. Magnesium might be able to help with that. And why do you get tinnitus or tinnitus or whatever you want to say? You'll actually have damage to it. It's a sensorineural hearing loss, and you actually lose some hair cells. And those hair cells, will represent a certain frequency or sound that you normally hear. So what does your brain do? It actually fills in that void with a sound. Yeah. I mean, your eye does that too. Everybody's a blind spot right here. So your body, your brain sort of fills that in what it thinks should be there. So it's very hard to control. Usually if it's not associated with medicines, it's something you're going to have to deal with. And there's some hearing aids that help a little bit. But it's unfortunate. Stress will make it worse, but stress makes everything else worse. So, yeah. But it can be very life-changing, life-altering, and that's why it's very, you know, it's important to have hearing protection. You know, they say you should, just working in a factory or anywhere where you get exposure to 85 decibels can lead to hearing loss. And again, a blender in your house going is like 85 decibels. So, that's, you know, hearing protection. You have your own hearing once. You got to protect it. Without talking about your medical history, you did allude to having hearing loss more in one ear. Is that the ear you fire weapons from or firearms? Or
No, it's actually the opposite of what. I mean,
I almost sounded smart there for a second, didn't I?
No, yeah, you almost had it, but no. I was told, and I've had it for 20 years plus or whatever. So I was told that I'd had a cold or something that settled in that ear. Yeah. And of course, I didn't go get steroids right away or anything.
That's very unsettling to me to hear that.
And so they said, yeah, you've had some kind of a something settle in that side of your ear. So that side is.
Yeah.
And I used to always find myself every once in a while, if I'd be talking to you, you would kind of turn your head a little bit so that your other ear that was picking up better would do that. The hearing, I got to admit, though, I would encourage people that if they have a hearing loss, whether mm-hmm. you think you do or not, to get it checked out. You know?
Yeah, there's some also, too. You could actually take a hearing test on your phone if you have. There's some apps that you could just like say, I mean, it's not going to be super accurate, but if you put you go in a quiet place and you have some headphones you can put on, you could actually have a hearing test. And a hearing test is just sort of finding out what your threshold of hearing is.
So you can kind of tell
what frequency you're missing. And people say, well, I know we're running out of time here. Do I need a hearing aid or a cochlear implant? And it's basically the ability you have to understand or pick up somebody's speech.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of really what the cutoff. If you can hear most things and you can do pretty good with a hearing aid and you can converse and be part of the world, great. If it's such profound hearing loss, and I have some specific numbers for that, profound hearing loss is you can't hear anything unless it's louder than 90 decibels, then they start talking about cochlear implants. They are getting more and more. They're doing these in children, and I want to say almost as early as 3 months. Definitely
younger all the time.
Yeah, because speech is very important for development and things like that. So
I used to take my dad to the VA hospital in mm-hmm. Sturgis, and of course it was my right ear that I had a problem with, and he'd sit on the right side of the car, and he was very soft-spoken and kind of mumbled sometimes.
Yeah.
And I was always going.
I mean, I speak mumble. I talk all day, and although I do like to hear myself talk, but anyway, I do have the Malzac mumble, and then put me in the OR, and I put a mask on me, and it's just basically nobody hears what
I say. Right. So I would get checked out. Go to your GP.
Yes,
have them do a little check, and they'll refer you to somebody down the road to do that. So
yeah, it's really super important. Can't say enough about it. But anyway, is that our time?
We're about out of time. You got any other Dr. Malachek stupid facts to leave us
with? We talked about the ear thing. We talked about Q-tips. I'm sure there was just a rush of emails that came in and asked me a bunch of questions. So,
I didn't get any text messages, and Sue didn't rush in here with a post-it note. So.
Quick, we have one. I guess my mother's not listening today. So,
I have a new radio app. You can tell her she can listen on the radio. If you go to your phone and you download Simple Radio,
oh, really?
It's an app, and then you click that and make KVSH. You can search for KVSH, make it a favorite, and then you can, when you get it all set up like that, you hit Simple App or Simple Radio, KVSH, and there's the radio for you.
That's wonderful. Yeah, actually, I want to thank all those that are involved, especially at the hospital and on this side. So my conversations with you are actually posted on the Cherry County Hospital webpage, and sometimes it just pops up and my big ugly face there and has my shows, or you can go under services and all my shows are. And the other night I couldn't sleep. I was anxious about something, so I put my own radio station or our conversation on, and I was gone.
That was it.
That was it. Yeah. Yeah.
We had to do one. That's a future program we could do on sleep.
Yeah.
Sleep disorders, sleep deprivation, those kind of things. Jot a note down into there.
I always jot a note down, and then I go to sleep and it all goes away.
I'll try to remember. Well, Doc, thanks for coming in. Yes. Appreciate another good conversation. Hopefully we shed some light for people out there and entertain them a little bit, which is the point of our conversation.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thanks for your time. Everybody be safe out there. Be good to yourself. Be good to everybody else.
And a happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
We've been visiting with Dr. Richard Malachek from the Cherry County Hospital here in Valentine. He's the surgeon there and an MD on staff, but we do not represent Cherry County Hospital in our Ask Dr. Rick program here. Please seek medical attention from your general practitioner, your family doctor, the person you go to talk about your healthcare needs with.